I sense the time that my wife has gone back to her family and came under that spirit. She's had more desire to read and study the Bible than I've ever seen her have in the time that we've been married. She's had more desire to fellowship with those people who call themselves Christians. Certainly not the real ones, but she's gone to other people who she believes are stronger in the knowledge of the Scripture than she is, so that she can justify herself and to ask help in bringing me back to what she thinks is truth. One of those people is Todd Tomasello. Now, speaking about Todd, you know, let me just say this for a second. Todd, I read your letter. And you, sir, are a demon-inspired, antichrist-following minister of Satan. And people like you who think that because you can quote Scripture and even entire books of the Bible, that knowledge of the Bible alone is going to get you into God's kingdom, you're someday going to be pretty surprised when you stand before God and find out that you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And not only that, but you're going to be found guilty as an accomplice to the spiritual murder of many, many people. And your reward for those murders and for the broken marriages that you've helped to destroy is justifiably going to be much more than you can bear. Search the Scriptures, Todd, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Jesus. So in the name of the Most High God, may your prayers become sin, and as you love cursing, so let it come unto you. Okay, dreams. Dreams are another argument that my family's used against me. And the charge is that I've injected my own desires and my own meaning into the dreams that the Lord spoke to others in my family. These dreams are one of the ways, it's not the only way, but it's one of the ways that God chose to speak throughout this whole situation. And I had nothing to do with that. I can't tell God how to speak to me. He chooses what He chooses, and He's given me the understanding of it. I don't have any gift for interpreting dreams. But the Lord's blessed me with the understanding of the dreams that He gave to me as I looked to Him for their meaning. And there have been dreams that I've had that I know are not of God, but that seem to be trying very hard to counterfeit those dreams of God. Now, He's also given me the meaning of other people's dreams, and I've never searched for those meanings, but because the people who those dreams were given to and were in my fellowship didn't receive those dreams, the Lord gave me the understanding of that because it protected me and showed me the spiritual state of those people who were in my fellowship so that I wouldn't end up giving heed to the false god that they're worshiping now and be defiled and lost just like they are. Pam, your testimony a couple of weeks ago really blessed me. And I want to thank you for giving that testimony. It took a lot of courage, and I commend you for that courage. And I thank you for that testimony because it illustrates so clearly what a false conversion is. I've heard a lot of preachers talk about false conversions, but it's always been in the context of Calvin's doctrines, which show that they really don't have any idea what they're talking about. And until you gave your testimony, I really didn't have any idea what a false conversion was either. But after hearing that testimony, I believe that that false conversion is probably my wife's story as well. Took a long time to see that. I want to say that this enemy's not going to attack God's children through the television. He's not going to come after you through the lust of the flesh and the cares of this world. He's not going to use the unsaved masses who walk contrary to the doctrines of Christ. If we've been able to put those things down with the old man, what he's going to use is those that we fellowship with, those that we love the most, those who we're closest to, who we've opened the Bible with, who we've prayed with and prayed for, who maybe we've even laid hands on in prayer, even our children. I made a lot of dangerous prayers when I was brand new in the faith. A lot of them. You know, I prayed, Lord, if there's any way that you can make me a part of that two witness company, make me a part of that company. Lord, put me in that church in Philadelphia. I want to be a card-carrying member of that church because you didn't say anything bad about them, Lord, and that's what I want. I want a testimony, Lord, that I please you. Lord, as I look at that Passover lamb, help me. Help me, Lord, to take in and eat the entire thing and leave nothing until the morning. Lord, help me that every word you speak to me gets deep in the heart of good soil. Help me to cultivate that soil and cast out any stones and uproot thorns and briars and as they come up. And Lord, I want to produce that 100-fold fruit of Christ. And if there's 110-fold fruit of Christ, that's what I want, is 110. And I'm sure, looking back, that if I knew the implications of what, there's no way I'd have had the strength to pray those things. But I do still pray that way. And I'm not giving this testimony tonight to sling mud. I'm not angry at anybody for the wrong that they've done against me, but I am angry. I'm very angry that they've cast the Lord off. I'm even more angry that after they've cast Him off, they continue to claim His name and they can't blush. They can't be ashamed of the sins that they commit. They think that they're delivered to commit these sins, the sins of pride and idolatry. Because of the word that Jesus spoke to us, we have the choice in who we serve, whether we serve Christ or whether we serve Antichrist, whether we become the servant of sin through our choices to sin, or if we remain the servant of Christ through our obedience to Him. But we can't have it both ways. My mother-in-law is one that's fallen to this Antichrist spirit, and her testimony is on Dan's website under the testimony audio. And I say this because we really need to understand just exactly how real this is. Now, we live in a spiritual world with a natural veil, and if we can't see through that natural veil, we're food for the enemy. This enemy is coming after those that we love, and when he gets them, he's going to use them against us, and he has absolutely no mercy at all. And the sad fact is that the people who are into this spirit, it's got them. And they can't get free from it. God could free them, but they don't want to be free. They love that thing. I haven't walked perfectly in this storm. There have been times that I've messed up. I've messed up bad. There's times that I've disobeyed God because I foolishly thought that I knew better. There's been times that I fought and argued out of the flesh and emotions. There's been times that I've said things that are hurtful. Probably out of defense because of the pain that I've felt. And these things are all sin. I'm not trying to justify any of that. These are all things that I've had to repent of. And the Lord forgives. But I'm here to tell you that this Antichrist spirit will not let you forget. He continues to accuse you long after you've been freed from sin. Any sin. It doesn't matter what it is. He brings it to your remembrance all the time. Every chance he gets to accuse you. He made my wife and my family my enemies because I've spoken the truth. And I'm sure that when they hear this, if they do, the fight's going to be on again. But that's okay. The Lord gave me a promise that He'll keep me. I think on the other side of this storm is the most beautiful blue sky. And I may have to wait until I leave this earth to see it, but I'll see the other side of this black cloud. And I praise God for the protection that He's given me. He's protected me from myself. He's protected me from those things that I can't see and from the secret counsels of those that chose to be my enemies because they hate the truth. And all that protection began on day one. It doesn't just start. God doesn't have aha moments. He doesn't sit back and say, I sure didn't know He was about to do that. His foreknowledge is such an awesome thing, and He knew these things from day seven when He rested from all of His finished work. And I want to say that my God is the only God. He's a strong tower that I can run into, and He's a God that goes before me in war, and I praise Him. Harold, brother, you've been a real help to me in this fight. Now, I know you don't know that, but there have been times that God's put a word in your heart, and it's rolled around in there for a week, and you gave that word on the chat room in the fellowship, and that word was a direct answer to one of my prayers. And so I say thank you for being so faithful to speak the word that God gives you to speak, because it's blessing people. And to everybody in the chat room, I praise God for you too. I don't have a spiritual family here anymore. I don't make it into this chat room very much because of my job, and I just want to say that even the simple hellos that you guys give to me when I come in mean so much to me. And I don't really know what to pray, but I do pray for you guys. And I thank you for the blessing that you've all been to me. And Dan and Sister Annabelle, God's used you. And I owe you both my life. Thank you for your absolutely selfless service to God and His people, because without that, I wouldn't be here. If it weren't for your faithfulness to Him, I'd have fallen to this Antichrist spirit and never even seen it coming. I'd have believed 100% the whole time that I was walking with the true Jesus when I was on my way to hell. So thank you again. I love you guys, and I hope that this testimony helps somebody.
Amen. We back on here? Okay, thanks. Well, I don't know what to say after that. I don't know what you can say. Except you can keep Holly Dog in prayer. He's really up against a stiff battle right now. So, you know what to pray for. Does anybody else have anything to share? Or want to add to that or anything? Go ahead, Joey Boy. You got the mic, bro.
Yeah, pretty speechless too, brothers, hearing that testimony from Holly Dog. That was awesome. And personally, I'll keep you in prayer as well, brother, okay? Yeah, few weeks ago, Sister Pam, whatever Sister Pam shared as well, has inspired me as well. And so if you guys don't mind, I'm going to start with something short here and share a little bit of experience that I had in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. And it may bring some confirmation to what Brother Holly Dog or Brian, is that right? So yeah, I'm just going to read it. And if there's some time, if you guys want me to share my testimony, that'd be, I'll probably add that on as well. But we'll see what happens. So when I was in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, I met a brother who was about my age, actually a little older. He became a friend of mine. He was running a little Bible study in his home, so we discussed the Word of God together, and also just simply try to recognize the narrow path of life and trying to avoid all the deceptions in the church the best we knew how. This brother was very zealous. I was actually pretty intrigued by his boldness to speak what he believed to be of the truth. He was never involved in any church denominations. In fact, he actually came out of a church in Beaver Dam, which was a ministry that was condemning and exposing the religious apostasies in the church, but mostly political conspiracies that's very evident in the world today. So this young man had a lot of passion for the Lord. He had a powerful testimony of conviction of sin and repentance. I would see him bow down, calling upon the name of the Lord in his living room floor as he played some worship songs, zealously crying out for more of God. This guy was not some weird religious guy, unlike a Todd Bentley or some kind of charismaniac in the church circus today. No, this guy was not even exposed to most of what was going on in Christendom. He was living a separate life from any religious organizations and considered the whole church as being lukewarm and compromising. He was only fellowshipping at his home with other young adults whom I never met. Actually, by the time I started to fellowship with him, somehow it was his best friend and his dad who came one of the nights of study that I was there. But anyway, after about the second time being at his place for fellowship, by this time somehow his best friend never came back after being offended. So anyways, this brother began to cancel our meetings. He seemed very reasonable, so I just let it go without thinking anything bad about it. One night I received an email from him. It was a critical and pretty bizarre. Let me reword that. It was so critical and bizarre that I did not want to end up making conclusions without waiting on the Lord and what to say or what to do about it. So instead, I just told him I'll be inquiring the Lord in prayer about his email. And I told him I needed to see him face to face to find out what was going on. I really didn't know what he was involving himself into. I know he was doing his own research, but somehow his email was so contrary to the testimony of the truth within my spirit. Out of a deep concern and desiring to know what had happened to him, I made arrangements to see him as soon as possible the next day. I also wanted to make sure that I judged him properly. So as I was driving minutes away from his place, I had a stirring in my spirit. The strong impression I had was revolving around 2 John, verse 7, where the Apostle John states that those who believe not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is a deceiver and an antichrist. So with that in mind, my heart was so heavy and burdened. In fact, a big part of me did not want to face the situation, so I was so reluctant to proceed in the meeting. But anyway, I ended up in his dining room and started to ask him about some questionable patterns in his life. And the very next sentence that came out of his mouth after his smirky and defensive answer to my question, he said, "In fact, I don't even believe anymore that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." I guess I couldn't say I was taken by surprise, but still, I was really shocked and pretty amazed. I do not know the full nature of how and why he ended up in such a grave, tragic state. I do not know what he opened himself up into all of his, during his research. The only thing I could think of is that he had a strong spiritual pride, and I believe he did open himself up to some strange spirits. One thing for sure, the enemy completely overcame him very quickly. I tried my best to pull him out of the fire, but as he rebuked me and trampled over my attempts to help him, I then realized that he was beyond help and was given over to Satan. I told him that he made up his mind, and sadly I never felt led of the Holy Spirit to pray for him after that. When I left his house that day, all I could do was go home and balled up in the corner in the fear of God and poured out my heart to the Lord, saying, "If this guy can fall in such a tragic deception and rebellion, it is fearfully possible that I am, or anybody, is not exempt from any such danger." It was a humbling experience for me, and I believe it was a good learning moment about deception, pride, and rebellion. It surely was a very sobering day. Let me just continue here. I just wanted to confirm a little bit of what you've been talking about and also kind of compliment Sister Pam's testimony, that it is very possible for someone who may seem like they're walking in godliness and spirituality, calling upon the name of the Lord, but it's either they were walking in false conversion, being Christianized, hellbound sinners, or simply opened themselves up to different spirits that looks like the Holy Ghost, or it may sound like the Lord Jesus Christ, or it may portray an image of God the Father, and actually may even be preaching 99.9% of gospel truth, but still be walking in the spirit of Antichrist. Sadly, there are so many of us in Christendom who has been heaping it up with so little or no consideration to the very possibility that Satan could actually be the very author of repackaging so many forms of godliness in the Christian world today. And yet sadly, in fact very frustrating, that nobody wants to hear the warnings of Jesus, that the very first thing that came out of his mouth when asked about the last days was not about knowing how to prophesy or heal people and intercede for revival or go to conferences. He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, much less the warnings of the prophets in the Old Testament, then from the book of Acts, and very clearly all throughout the rest of the New Testament writings of the apostles of old." So anyways, I just wanted to share that. If that makes sense, And thank you all. We'll see if I should read my testimony as well. But I'll give you the mic right now.
Thanks, Joseph. Good word. That's a good thing to share. Thank you for sharing. And you can do your testimony. Go for it. Take the mic and do your testimony. I'm sure everybody's interested.
Okay, so I just thought I'd try to catch up and share my little testimony a little bit. It's not going to be a bio or a life story or anything like that. So I'm just going to try to major on the majors, okay? Originally from the Philippines, so kind of tells you what kind of pagan religion I was raised in during my childhood. I was living in complete rebellion against God, living a life of pretty abominable sins, absolutely no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ at all. In my deception, I thought, you know, I was on my way to heaven just because I tried to be a good guy, and as long as I believed in God. The year was 1996. Having been in Maui, Hawaii for 11 years by that time, it was around the mid part of February. Had no idea at that time, at that moment, but the Lord was bringing me to a rock-bottom experience in my life. The emptiness and pain was bad enough that somehow there was nothing around me that could bring answers to what I was going through. Somebody tried to offer me comfort by bringing me to a nightclub. Friends took me to places to hang out and ended up drinking with them. Finally ended up in a local Catholic church as I decided to seek some comfort from God, whoever he was, by turning to the tradition and religion that my grandmother raised me back home in the Philippines. In the midst of all the confusion, depression, pain, being so lost, I was in the house with some church people who went to a community church, and then there was one Christian lady who graciously shared with me a little story about the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. She went on by telling me about what Jesus did on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. She then shared with me that I could have a personal relationship with God. That same week, long story short, somehow I was banned from going back to that house for some special reason. But from then on, somehow I had a desire to have a relationship with God. So I kept saying to myself, to listen to that lady, that's what I want, a relationship with God. So since I perceived that the Catholic religion did not teach such an experience, I decided that I was not going back to that religion because what I needed was a relationship with God. And if that woman was a Christian, then it's the Christian religion that taught such experience. And so beginning around the 23rd of March 1996, all that week I was asking God in my mind to lead me to a Christian church. By Saturday that week, being burdened to find this relationship with God in a Christian church, and as I was about to clock out from work, I ran into a coworker who was going to an Assemblies of God Christian church, which was a church that I used to mock and criticize. And so I told the man, hey, I want to come to your church. And so the next day, March 31st, 1996, didn't know what happened to me as I went down to the front of the church to surrender to Lord Jesus Christ, but driving home that night in my car, the words, this is life, this is life, this is life, was repeatedly welling up from the very depth of my heart as I voiced those words. It's kind of hard to explain, but all I know is that it was such a joy and peaceful experience and relief from all the heavy burdens I had. Later on, I found out I got spiritually born into Jesus Christ and have entered a personal relationship with God, and that all my sins were forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe it was about a month after that experience that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Conviction of sin was so real, and somehow it became a journey of wanting more of God and having a desire to be equipped to witness for the Lord. I went to Washington State. I just wanted to be taught on how to obey and serve the Lord in ministry and grow in my relationship with Him. As a few more years went by, I started feeling completely out of place in the church. No matter how hard I tried, fitting in was progressively becoming so difficult. since there was some desire to please the Lord, God was feeding me a little bit of truth, particularly about the fear of the Lord concerning the perfection of holiness and the fear of God, which exposed a lot about the corruption in my own Christian life that I had to repent of, which gave me a little bit of insight to see some serious character issues and traditions in the church that somehow I could no longer be a part of. I remember many times being in church physically, but my heart was no longer there. Shortly after the Twin Towers fell in 01, I was in my church clothes one morning, only to end up weeping before the Lord in my living room couch, asking God, why am I feeling this way? And saying, Lord, I just want to be with you. I didn't understand much of what was going on at that time. All I know was that I could no longer attend that church and anything like it anymore in good conscience. The Lord stripped me of any church ministry prior to my departure and had to forget and renounce all the prophecies that apostles and prophets prophesied to me. By this time, the subject of sonship relationship with the Father was being introduced to me as I was desiring to pursue the Lord to be able to say to me, this is one of mine in whom I am well pleased. Desiring to walk in the image and likeness of Christ in his life, in his works, and in his ministry, which also caused me to dump all the ministry mentalities of church and religion. I didn't know any better, but such desire led me to a place of only wanting to know the purest form of living truth the Father had sent, revealed by the Holy Ghost. In my ignorance and immaturity, even in those moments of pursuing the Lord, little did I know, there were still preachers of whom I was listening and receiving from that were infected by the spiritual disease of apostasy, which the Lord dramatically shook off from me as he began to show me a little bit more about the condition of Christendom. Besides my father's death, who was in the Philippines, renouncing and separating from my spiritual father and apostle, quote-unquote, unhappily was also taking place. It happened as I gently shared with him my heart about what the Lord has been showing me, the condition of the Christian world. And as the Lord was shaking my foundation, things began to fall dramatically. My work life, relationships, fellowship outside the church, etc., were being affected. And most of all, the most anguishing moment that would last years to finally be delivered and be healed of the afflictions of spiritual and emotional convulsions take place in my life completely beyond my control. Having left with no options, no brethren, no friends to turn to in all the midst of powerful temptations within me to control and manipulate my situations, all I could do was to complain. In my failure to overcome, all I could do was end up dragging prayers to God, saying, this is a part of the process of bringing me into the fullness of becoming like your Son. I want it. You are righteous and just in all thy ways. There were a lot of good things that I wanted to do to better my situation, only to end up falling flat on the ground, saying, nevertheless, not my will, but yours alone. But anyways, over a year after that, that's when I left Hawaii to make myself a little bit more available to the Lord, hoping to give the Father the corresponding glory he deserves for the little tear he allowed me to sow. And besides, I didn't know what else I was supposed to do. Several more years later would come to pass until I would run into the writings of Brother Dan, especially the one titled The Sons of God, and completely blasted me. Even though I was distracted by other Christian pursuits for a season, which actually so dried me up spiritually, which I regretted so much and repented of them shamefully. But in my dry and thirsty land, crying out for the Father to help me get back to my first love, the Lord delivered me of the major distractions and Christian defilements to get me back into the very heart of the matter in my life. Brother Daniel, I give all the glory to God for you, brother. He used you greatly in my life. The message you've been trumpeting has amplified the message of sonship in my life. It has purified my view and has corrected me, rebuked me, brought about balance in my spiritual mindset. and has sharpened my falcon ever before concerning the subject of sonship. I thank you, brother, for your obedience to the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here I am, still a piece of work in progress, going through the process to hopefully get to the promise, trying to catch up behind brothers and sisters in the race in this room and whoever else out there in the narrow path of life. I am hoping for that which is unseen, which is eternal, and pressing on until hopefully be able to say with you all, along with our brother Apostle Paul, a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So in spite of my little Gethsemane experience, if you will, that I went through so far, I want to glorify God by testifying a little bit that he is a faithful father to comfort the fatherless. And I believe our fiery journey will have to end because of the enemy's hatred for God's plan for us as we see the day approaching. And at the same time, it's because the Father has made himself available to a company who will pay the price to count all the costs without regards to consequences and tenaciously press on to the sinless sonship perfection of Christ to be fully approved and be received by the Father along with the Son of God as sons of God. Anyways, thank you, brothers and sisters. I love you all. God bless. Back to you, Brother Dan.
Wow. Amen. What a wonderful testimony, brother. Wonderful. And you did good, too. Thank you for sharing that. Three chickens and counting. You're slaying them chickens by the dozen now. Amen. Hallelujah. Great testimony. The Lord is faithful to all those that really, really trusted him and following. All right, anybody else? You guys did good tonight. A lot of good sharing, a lot of good word. You can tell the Lord's working in your life. All right, anybody else? Me too, Sissy. Sissy says she's been blessed beyond words. I say amen. Same here. Yeah, short knocker, you got to give me testimony. Whenever. No problem, you. Anytime. All right, well, I'll try and get this up tonight. This audio up, okay, in case you guys want to hear it again. And I really appreciate you guys talking. That's great. Glad you all got something. Praise the Lord. It's encouraging. And we just keep each other in prayer. It's a hard road, and the devil's out to take us all down. But God's, the greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world, right? So thanks for coming, guys. Appreciate it. And we'll see you next week. God willing, and river don't rise.